Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I was in middle school and high school, my favorite subject in school was PE. I always looked forward to PE. Now, this is not because I was good at it. In fact, exactly the opposite. There is a long and impressive list of sports at which I am absolutely terrible. Of all the things I could have been accused of as a teenager, being an athlete would not be one. But you see, I looked forward to PE because I didn't see it as an opportunity for recreation. I saw it as an opportunity for socialization. It was the one class during the school day when you could talk in class. And not only that, but you could get dressed up in some really comfortable clothes and go outside and enjoy the sunshine and the weather and catch up on all the school gossip. It was a good time. But true, there were these interfering nuisances. Every so often you'd have to go swing a bat or run down the court. There were those interruptions. But all in all, it was a good time. I remember that in gym class, there was this time-honored ritual that began each class. It was the choosing up the teams. The coach would pick two jocks. They would become the captains, and they would choose their teams. They'd go back and forth. He would pick one, and he would pick one, and back and forth until everyone was chosen. Now, a lot of the guys took this process very seriously. Their emerging adolescent egos were often very much at stake here. But frankly, I couldn't care less. It was a good thing, too, because I was always among the last chosen. You know, Garland Potts, Steve Hoover, me, one of us was always the last to be chosen. And it didn't much matter because none of us cared. Now, I share that because our text for today talks about choosing. But it's a vastly more important kind of choosing for a very different kind of team. Our text for today is the words of Jesus. It's recorded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 16, and it simply reads, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." You did not choose me. I chose you. This is one of those very common teachings you find all over the Bible, Old Testament in you. It's a very important teaching that unfortunately doesn't get mentioned much these days. It's the teaching that God is the chooser and we are the choosee. It's found all over the Bible, for example, in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. And John 15:19. God has chosen you from out of the world. Ephesians 1:4. God chose us in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:1. I have chosen you so that you are now mine. God is the chooser. We are the choosee. It applies to pretty much everything in Christianity. But our text for today, the context of those words is ministry. Christ choosing us for his ministry team. Now you may ask, why would God choose me? Why would he choose you? Why would he choose us for his ministry team? And it's a good question, and you might answer it. You might say, because I'm great, because I'm wonderful, because I'm talented, because I'm skilled, because I'm a winner. You might say that, and you'd be absolutely wrong. Look at the Bible. Look at the Old Testament, the New Testament. Look at how God chose. I mean, in the Old Testament, there was this chosen people. Remember? That phrase occurs over and over and over again, maybe hundreds of times in the Old Testament, God's chosen people. They were, of course, the Hebrews, the Jews, the children of Abraham. And you might ask, why did God choose them? Were they the mightiest, the strongest nation on earth? Were they most populous, the largest nation on earth? Were they the wealthiest, the most esteemed and influential nation on earth? No. In fact, when God chose the Hebrew nation, it didn't even exist. It wasn't anything at all. Or think of the individuals that God chose. Moses, a murderer, an escaped felon, a lousy leader, a horrible communicator. Or think of Matthew, a hated tax collector. People would walk on the other side of the street to avoid getting close to a tax collector. Or Simon, a wild-eyed revolutionary, Judas, a traitor and a thief, Paul, a former persecutor of the church, a murderer of Christians, and the list could go on and on and on and on. Here's the stunning thing. Here's the really remarkable thing. When you look at the people God chose, Old Testament or New Testament, there's hardly an impressive guy in the lot. There's hardly anyone there you would vote for as a dog catcher. It's kind of remarkable the people that God chose and kind of revealed. In 1 Corinthians we read, God chose the foolish in order to shame the wise. God chose the weak in order to shame the strong. Paul, who had a tough time learning this lesson, finally wrote this: for Christ's sake, I now delight in my weaknesses, because I have learned that when I am weak, that's when I am strong. Elsewhere he wrote, we can do all things through Him. Through Him. That's the key. That's the point. That's what we need to understand. God could use all those losers in the Bible because it was not a case of God using their strength. It was a case of they using God. God could use all those losers in the Bible because they were not full of themselves and therefore could be full of Him. You know, it's kind of interesting. In the Old Testament, the highest office there ever was the office of prophet, one who literally speaks for God. There weren't a lot of them, but it was a very, very important position. They were appointed, they were selected, they were chosen by God Himself, prophet, highest office there was. But in the Old Testament, there was not a single person who ever volunteered for the job. Did you know that? No one turned in their resume to God and said, hey, I'd like to be considered for a prophet. No. In each case, God came directly to them. They were usually kicking and screaming and complaining, but God said, go, and they did. and in the New Testament. There are the apostles. Highest office the church has ever known. Apostles, personally chosen by Jesus Christ himself. 12 people, 13 if you throw Paul into the mix. Highest office there ever was, and never did anyone volunteer for the job. No one turned in their resume to Jesus. In each case, Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me." And they were usually shocked, and so was everyone else. But they followed Jesus. "You did not choose me," Jesus said. "I chose you." I remember there was one time in junior high when I did something kind of great. It was during the football game. And I need to tell you that when I was a teen, football was by far my best sport. Now, this was not because I was skilled or talented in that area. Not at all. It's because I was big. I did my growing early in life, so I was bigger than the other guys in junior high. And this made me good on the line. Now, all I had to do was stand there, because none of those little 80-90-pound guys could get past me. All I had to do was stand there, but I did that well. Well, anyway, there was this football game. And I had just stopped this little guy, and I was, standing there, minding my own business, enjoying the sunshine and the weather, and kind of watching the football activity going on there. And all of a sudden, this ball came flying in my general direction. I looked around and see, who is he throwing that ball to? And there was no one around. That's when it dawned on me. He was throwing that ball to me. So I looked up to heaven above and I said, "God, please help me catch this football." Now I knew then, and I knew better today, I didn't catch that ball. God just put it in my hands. But I had the good sense to know what to do with it. I ran in the correct direction. Ran about 40 yards for a touchdown. Bonk. Now, all along the way, there were all those little guys who were trying to stop me, but they didn't have a chance. I had momentum. The coach, Coach Adam, he never did anything. He never dressed out. He never participated. He never said anything. He just sat on a bench with Coach Peterson and drank coffee, but he obviously was watching. Because I remember at that point, he stood up and he looked out onto the field and he said, "Hey, Copeland!" Now, here's the thing. For 2 or 3 days after that, I was chosen early in the team selection process. Someone would have to nudge me. "Hey, Alan, he just called your name." Oh. See, but it didn't take long. It didn't take them long at all to realize that thing I had done, that touchdown. See, that was just pretty soon I was right back there with Carl Fox and Hoover. The captain did not choose me for the football team. But God chose me for his. And he chose you too. He chose us not because he can use our strength, but because we can use his strength. He chose us because we are not full of ourselves and therefore can be full. Of the things I've learned in my 44 years of pastoral ministry, this has probably got to be at the top of the list. And I'm reminded. reminded of it frequently. Maybe I get a phone call and someone's in the emergency room. So I get in the car and I drive to the hospital as fast as I can, and I'm praying for that person, but frankly, I'm also praying for me. And I'm praying that God gives me the right words, that God gives me the right heart, that God gives me the right attitude. And above all, I pray that God gets me out of the way so that he can do his thing. And sometimes it goes well. And when it does, I know I didn't catch the ball. God just put it in my hands. Paul said, I have learned to delight in my weaknesses, because when I am weak, that's when I am strong. The fact that God chose us says little about the choosee, but it says a lot about the choosor. It says a lot about his love, a lot about his grace and mercy, a lot about his enabling power in all of those who believe. In Ephesians it says, in love, God chose us through Christ Jesus to the praise of his glorious grace. Our text reminds us, God is the chooser, and we are the choosee. He chooses us not because he can use our strength, but because we can use his strength. God's chosen people, members of his team. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and minds.